Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It is our last hour here. It is officially, by the way, Thanksgiving. So a very, very, from all of us here at the Phil Hendry Show to all of you, a very, very happy Thanksgiving. And we hope you have a good one. Thanksgiving is for enjoying good food. It's for enjoying the very best of friends and family. It's a happy time. It should be a very, very happy time. Anything that happens today that is a bother or is a pain in the ass or is makes you angry, get it away from you. Throw them out of your house if you have to. I'm not kidding. And have a great, and don't feel guilty about it either, because, you know, you're entitled to have a good day. So,
I heartily concur on that one, I can tell you. And I thank you very much for that.
I think that's reasonable, Phil, although there are some of us that have to, you know.
Have to what?
Well, I don't want it. Frank's sister is in town.
All right. Well, if you have to put up with certain family members, I guess you have to. But I'm just saying, minimize the. This is not a time I hear so many people talk about during these holidays. Oh, it's a terrible time. I say, why? Well, because my mother and my father and my sister, my all of this family dynamic stuff. Don't go through with it. Don't go through with it. It's not worth it, you know. If you got to sit there by yourself eating candy out of a box and watching, you know, reruns of Floyd Patterson and Muhammad Ali, which is what we're doing right now.
I've got something. Well, I guess you heard that.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Then that's what you got to do. Now, during the news break, I heard, Don, you were talking to Mr. Martin, who's the owner and general manager of your Channel 19, right?
And I was watching on Phil TV and HD, you were showing part of the Muhammad Ali Floyd Patterson fight, which you're showing right now. And I said to him, he says to me, what are you watching? I said, I'm watching Floyd Patterson and Muhammad Ali. And he said, well, who do you like in the fight? And I said, what do you, he said, who do you like? I said, well, I said, I like Muhammad Ali because he's going to win. He says, how do you know that? I said, because the fight's already taken place. And
this man said this to you?
Yes. And I said, the fight's already taken place. He said, do you mean a recording? And I said, yes, this is a recording, if you want to call it that. I said, it's a film. He said, because I like the other guy.
Meaning who, Floyd Patterson?
Meaning Floyd Patterson. And I said, well, you know, the other guy, he lost. And he says to me, no, but I still like him. And I said to this idiot, hey, do you want to sell your car, Phil? You do? Yeah, because I really like to buy it. I like your Jaguar. Oh, you lease it. All right. How you doing?
I'm good. Are you still watching the fight, huh?
Yeah, I'm watching the fight.
All right.
And
how's it going so far?
Well, it looks like it's a pretty good fight. I'll let you know.
All right.
And
that guy is going to be very unhappy when you win that bet.
Well, he wanted a bet. I told him it was a recording of the fight.
Wait a minute. Did you tell him this fight took place in 1965?
Yes, I did.
And the man is so stupid.
This guy is a classic mafiosa. I'm telling you right now, I shouldn't say this, but he is. He's a borderline moron, and he wanted to know.
And he owns your TV station.
Yes, he does.
Well, I got to tell you, whoever sold it to him, I mean, something's wrong. Somebody owed something to somebody, and if I were you, I'd get out of that situation.
Excuse me, Phil. I'm an Emmy Award-winning newsman from Channel 19. I don't need for any advice like that, if you don't mind. I've made my reputation here at Channel 19, and it is here at Channel 19 where I will stay. Now,
all right, well, that's fine, Don, but in the meantime, you've just bet this man. Now, what was the bet?
Well, the bet, he wanted odds. I said, I'll give you 5-1.
So by giving him those odds, he now knows that you knew the outcome.
He already knew that. I told him.
Don't you understand? He told him the fight was 50 years old or something, right?
Yes, I told him it was a 47-year-old fight.
I know that. But obviously that didn't register. What registers with that guy is money and odds. And when you laid 5-1 on him, when you said to him, I'll give you 5-1 and you can take Patterson and I'll take Ali, he now knows that you played him, and that's the way those kind of guys think.
Oh, is that right? That's the way those kind of guys think. So where did you all of a sudden, wow, get a load of you, where did you get your your understanding of gangland underworld culture.
I don't have any special understanding. I'm just trying to size this guy up. If he's too stupid to understand what it means when you say I've got a recording of a 50-year-old fight on, he is not going to be too stupid to understand that you gave him 5-1 on a fight that you win. And he doesn't.
Well, I'm just telling you that this guy is about as dumb as... Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, you bet. I love it over there. It's beautiful. We're going to take the ride. How you doing, Miss Martin? Hey, I'm doing good. How's the fight going, huh? It looks good so far. Is that Patterson guy? I love that Patterson. It's... Okay, so we'll take the wives to Las Vegas, huh, Phil? Oh, okay, great. Yes, sir. I'll see you in a minute. Hey, where are you going to Vegas? Oh, I don't know. We'll probably go, the usual. See over Caesars, huh? Well, I know everybody's Caesars, huh? See the buffet, huh? Yeah, sure. Okay. All right, so he's gone.
If I were you, I would not collect on that bet.
Why not?
Just don't. If you win the fight, just tell him, sir, I thought you knew that I was kidding. You know?
Wait just a minute here. If this guy bets me and he loses and he's about as dumb as the day is long, I'm supposed to take it in the shorts? You're telling me that's what these guys do. That's what every one of these greaseballs do. They always say, I love the way you look, honey. Oh, I love you in that dress. Yes, I do. How you doing? Yeah, I'm doing real good. I'm doing just as good as I was doing the last time you were here to get another espresso, which was like 30 seconds ago. I love this stuff. I drink it up like water, I love it. It's like water. This stuff is like vitamins to me. I don't know what it is. All right. How's the fight going? Okay, I sure hate that. I would not want to lose this fight, I tell you that. 5-1 odds. I mean, come on. I would never in my wildest dreams would I ever want to lose this fight. All right.
You understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
In other words, just tell him, when you win, you don't... Because I'll tell you what's going to happen here.
Whoa. Hold on for just a minute. Hold on for just a second here, okay? Since when did you become Nicholas Pileggi? Since when are you the guy, the big, gangland expert?
That's what I'm trying to say to him, Don. Phil, you think you know all about it.
I'm just telling you, and you don't have to believe me, that even if you say to this guy, I was kidding, the fight is over 50, it's almost 50 years old, and I didn't mean to bet you, he's still going to want you to pay up.
Are you kidding me? This greaseball, he's not going to get me to pay up nothing. This fight doesn't even exist. It happened in 1967.
You gave him 5-1, didn't you?
I gave him 5-1. If Patterson won, Patterson's not even going to win.
It doesn't matter. He's going to feel like a real chump, and he's going to expect you to pay up 5-1. What was the bet?
It's $1,000.
Have you got $5,000?
Have I got five? Does anybody have $5,000? Are you kidding?
Well, he's going to want you to pay.
Oh, listen to Mr. Gangster Expert. Woo! I'm all scared here.
I'm telling you right now, he's going to want you to pay.
Margaret, would you straighten this guy out, okay? I got to go to... Frankly, I got to go take a dump. Thank you.
Phil.
No, don't Phil me, okay?
No, Phil, don't you get it? The fight...
No, don't you guys get it. This Mr. Martin guy, you guys think he's stupid? He's going to find out this fight is a fight that already took place. He's going to expect Don to pay up anyway.
Patterson doesn't win.
It doesn't matter if Patterson wins or not. And the next time Don comes on this show and starts...
Are you guys there?
Yeah, don't ever say, hey, I got to go take a you-know-what and then throw the phone down.
Oh, really? Is the Mr. Gangland Expert telling me what to do? Well, get an earful of this. Uh-oh, looks like I didn't finish. I got to go back. How's that feel?
Put him on hold. Thank you. We'll be right back. Probably be back in time to hear that Don has had his brains beat in by Mr. Martin, because Don doesn't want to pay up on the bet because he made a chump out of this guy and he thinks the guy is just going to go, ha, ha, ha. Oh, that was really a good one. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, what? We're back. Phil Henry Show.
I don't know what's going on there.
Don?
Yes.
What happened?
Well, you know, nothing. Hello. Hey. Oh. Sorry.
Don.
Yeah.
You are okay? It's Phil. Are you all right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I told you that this was going to happen to you.
Well, we don't know what Don. What happened?
Oh, well, what do you think?
Okay. Did this guy beat you up? Are you able to talk? All right. I don't know whether we... Is there anyone there that we can talk to?
Get a backline to the newsroom right away.
Yeah, I'm talking.
Yeah, get to the newsroom.
Hey, hold on, Carl. Hey.
What'd you say?
Hi. Hi. I'm the medical attendant.
Are you working at Channel 19?
Hello?
Are you working at Channel 19, sir?
Yeah.
This is Phil Henry, and we are on the air on my radio show.
Okay.
And I need for you to tell me, is Mr. Berman all right?
Oh, he's doing fine. We're going to get him loaded into a medical evacuation unit here in a minute.
Tell him, please.
Can I ask you some questions for him?
All right.
Don, I want to ask you, were you just beaten up by Mr. Martin?
You might say that.
I might. Is that what he said?
Yes, sir.
Are you all right?
Okay. I've been better.
Did he beat you up because you didn't want to pay up?
That hits right on the nose.
And he expects you to pay up even though Floyd Patterson doesn't win the fight?
You got it, Sherlock.
Well, the Sherlock stuff, you know, I tried to warn you.
Yeah, we know. Congratulations. You were right. I was wrong.
All right, I'll let you guys go.
I don't feel too good.
Yeah, I'll bet he doesn't. Can you tell me, Mr. Medical Attendant, what's wrong with him?
Well, it looks like he might have a fractured jaw. There's contusions. It might be the orbital bone right here. Looks like it might have been cracked, but he'll live.
Yeah.
I just said, yeah, easy for you to say.
Yeah, well, yeah, it is. All right, thank you very much, sir.
Okay. Okay.
There you go.
Well, I have to apologize. I thought for sure you didn't know what you were talking about.
I'm just telling you. You know, this guy, everything that Don is telling me, from the coffee machine to this guy's whole attitude, and nobody's that dumb. I think this guy suckered Don into that bet. Don thought, oh, this is a sure win. I'm going to tell this guy, you know, I know who, you know, I'll take Ali and he'll take Patterson. And then the guy's too dumb to know that the fight took place in 1965. I win. The guy's going to have to pay up. No, he doesn't. Not only did he not have to pay up, he made Don pay even though he lost the fight.
$5,000.
$5,000, yeah. And Don didn't pay up and he wound up getting beat up.
Why does he got still work for that guy?
That's a very good point. Why doesn't he call the police?
I don't know, Margaret. Don't ask me. I don't know. I wouldn't want to know, and I don't really want to go any further with this discussion because I don't want anyone to think that I'm giving advice here about how to deal with a guy that I may, you know, I don't want to deal with. All right, so anyway, that was Don Berman, and that was Mr. Martin, and that was the Muhammad Ali fight that we were actually watching. We were giving that a gander here on a channel that I've got. It's just stuff, you know.
A lot of people, you're looking at these old fights, man.
I don't know. I just stumbled across this internet site. It's called Internet Archives, and as I mentioned to you guys the other night, it has all of these eminent domain, public domain, that's what I meant to say, public domain bits of media. Most of it is... It's video, it's audio, it's motion picture. It's stuff that has passed from private ownership or a private copyright into the public domain. And on this particular site, that's where you find all of this material. Now, a lot of this stuff is obviously, you know, I don't know how good they are on this site at finding, you know, at maintaining the stuff there is by rights should be there. Meaning, I don't know how good they are at maintaining the site as a site that has only public domain material. There may be some privately owned stuff there that the people at Internet Archives don't know anything about. But looking at most of this stuff that is actively downloaded, particularly Night of the Living Dead.
Now, I saw that. Now, that film was a famous horror film, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a famous horror. Everybody know about it, you know.
Well, that's my whole point. In other words, it's a very famous horror movie. So by now, the people that produced and would own the copyright on a film like that, by now they must know that it's being widely shared on this particular website because it's been there for God knows. I first discovered it about 4 years ago.
You discovered what, Night of the Living Dead?
4 years ago, yeah.
Well, it's been out since 1968. I don't understand.
No, he found it.
Excuse me, I'm talking to Phil. I'm not talking to you.
Margaret, what's the problem?
He's butting in again. Butting in again. Now then, when did Night of the Living Dead come out?
1968.
And you just found out about it 5 years ago. Wow.
No, Margaret, no. I knew about it in 1968.
Well, what are you talking about then?
I'm talking about the fact that I first saw it on this site in 2005 or 2006. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, all right. So, all right.
Yeah, see, you don't even know. And you're telling Mr. Henry all about it. Oh.
Don't be hitting people, Margaret.
I hit him with the paper. You said it was okay.
Anyway, that's how I found out about it there, okay? But the fact is, it's called, and that's what we were looking at, and so there you go. And the other thing we were looking at was that James Bay Braddock fight, and that's where that's at. And when you look at those things in context, the modern fight, ultimate fighting championships, and the modern, far more popular forms of competitive fighting, when you look at these guys, it's like looking at the Marquess of Queensberry. It's like looking at, I don't know what it must have looked like back in the 19th century, and those guys were doing that whole thing with the, you know, the fists.
Yeah, they used to stand there and just say, dude. What was that called? Marquess of what?
Marquess of Queensberry rules, I guess, but they had a very strange style, and they wore the long pants, you know.
It looked like they were wearing their underwear, not their underwear, their pajamas.
Yeah, they were like tights.
It looked like man tights, yeah, that they wore, and they had the boots. And a lot of the fights were outdoors. They didn't have indoor arenas in those days. You know, they had grandstands, and they had a ring, yeah. So watching these fights compared to the UFC bouts that you see, it's in another world, man. And it's all black and white, and it's all very, it's all very controlled. The UFC fighting and all of that ultimate fighting stuff is all about a new kind of control. It's a new kind of parameters that are set around that kind of fighting. There is more that is allowed, but there's also equally more control.
Well, I don't know. I've seen some of those fights. They look like absolute, like two animals going at it.
Well, it is. It's far more violent. There's no question. But it also is within a contained set of rules. It's within a certain sphere of control. Okay? Once a fighter is down or once a fighter is beat, he's beat, the fight is over. There are certain things that you're not allowed to do in ultimate fighting. You can't bite anybody. You're not allowed to take out a weapon of any kind and stick it in the guy's face.
Can you use a weapon?
No, you can't use any weapons. You're using your fist.
Dude, that, to me, that'd be ultimate fighting championship, be able to use a weapon. That's why I think that stuff that they do on UFC, and I think it's good, but it's still got to go further.
It's still got to go further, huh? So what do you want them to do?
Well, we were talking the other day about how they should have weapons.
What kind of weapons? Knives? Do you want guys to die? Is that what you want?
I think that's the ultimate fight, yeah.
Well, you know what? It's probably headed that way.
Oh, my God. And here we thought that fighting would be, boxing would be outlawed. That's...
Well, no, boxing ain't outlawed. Not by a stretch. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
As we promised you, we have Mavis Leonard on the line with us. Ms. Leonard, of course, now she is Robert's aunt, and you got her on the phone, Robert?
Yeah, I'm talking to her now, honey. Ms. Leonard, I'm going to come. Yeah, she's on the phone.
All right, we're going to talk with her about her Thanksgiving Day recipe, because here it is Thanksgiving. And now I want to find out, I hope we're not keeping her awake. Is she going to get up early tomorrow morning?
Well, we'll find out. Hey, honey, you going to go to bed? You going to go to bed? Bed. Are you going to bed? Bed. Sleep. No, I'm talking about, are you going to bed as in the bed that you sleep in? No.
What's the story?
I'm not asking you. I say, are you dead? Are you?
Let me talk to her, will you? Mavis?
You're a fool. I'll never be dead.
Mavis, it's Phil Hendry.
Is Mr. Henry on the phone? Okay, I don't want to talk to Robert no more. I love my nephew, but he's a stupid man. He is so stupid.
He was asking for me, and I'm sorry if it wasn't clear. What, are you going to bed soon?
I'm not going to go to bed until I have all of my preparation and my sous chef laid out. Robert's supposed to come home now, because he's going to be my sous chef, you know?
I don't know. See, that's the thing. I don't know what's a sous chef.
The sous chef, well, you tell him, Mavis.
I've told the dumbass. Our sous chef only cuts up everything.
You want me to do that?
That's what I've been trying to tell you all day. God, man, you are... The things that I would love for you to know, you had a brain that comprehends these things. I just don't understand.
Yeah, you gotta go. I'm gonna be a chef. I'm gonna be a sous chef.
Mavis, it's Margaret.
Yeah, hello, how are you, Margaret?
I'm fine, dear. A sous chef is the person that does the... They assist in the preparation.
Yeah, I'm going to be home in about 45 minutes.
All right, I'm waiting for you, but right now I'm laying out all of the things that I'm going to use in the preparation for my Beekman brothers. Now, you have to understand something, Phil. And I'll try to tell Robert this. This is my buttermilk cornbread stuffing with... This is my Beekman brother buttermilk cornbread stuffing with sausage.
The Beekman brothers?
Yeah, the Beekman brothers, I allow them to use their name on this because they think they invented it, but they didn't invent diddly squat. I'm the one that invented this, but I tell the Beekman brothers I put their name Beekman brother on it.
Who are the Beekman brothers?
Beekman brothers, it's a brand of stuffing, I think, isn't it?
I don't know who they are, and I don't care. I, as far as I'm concerned, they could die tomorrow. It wouldn't make any difference to me. I don't know who they are, what they are. I don't even know why they're alive. But I'll tell you this right now. This is my cornbread stuffing, but they're called a Beekman brother.
So you're calling it the Beekman Brothers cornbread stuffing with sausage?
No, I'm not. I'm calling it the Beekman Brothers buttermilk cornbread stuffing with sausage.
The Beekman Brothers cornbread buttermilk stuffing with sausage. All right.
Right. So you got the name, or you want me to say it again? And I tell you, the Beekman Brothers can rot in hell for all they've ever done for me. And
all right, let's get off the Beekman Brothers, okay?
Well, you asked me who the Beekman Brothers was.
I don't know who the Beekman Brothers are.
The Beekman Brothers are a brand name of stuffing.
Yeah, that's right. The Beekman Brothers, I think... Our brand name is stuffing.
I don't give a damn. How many times I got to tell you? I don't give a sweet damn that a Beekman Brothers, what you call a Beekman Brothers,
All right, never mind about the Beekman Brothers. So let's have the recipe.
All right, but just so you know, the Beekman Brothers can rot in hell.
All right, I get it about the Beekman Brothers.
We already know about the Beekman Brothers. Why do you keep beating on the Beekman Brothers?
The only person around here beating on anything is you. And I'm sorry to have put it that way, Mr. Henry.
All right, okay. So anyway, your buttermilk cornbread stuffing with sausage.
All right. So here's what I need. I need for Robert to stop off at the store and get me an extra virgin olive oil. I need 3/4 of a tablespoon of that. And then I'll need a large onion.
You what? Am I supposed to stop off the store and get all this?
No, fool. I just want you to stop off at the store and get me the... I want you to stop off at the store and get the virgin olive oil. That's all I need.
So you get the virgin olive oil. All right.
Now, the next thing I need is 3 ounces of pecan. I'm going to get that. And a 1/2 cup of chopped fresh parsley. And then I get the zest of 1 lemon, about 1 tablespoon, okay?
What's the zest of 1 lemon?
Well, that's the essence of a lemon. Just you get a lemon and you get a zest. A zest for life? You heard about a zest for life, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's the same thing that gives a lemon the desire to keep on going, even when you know, when you're a lemon and you know someone's going to cut you up and make you into a greeter. Or lemonade, you know.
Yeah.
The zest of a lemon.
Well, I understand that, yeah.
Well, I sure as hell don't understand that.
It's the thing that gives a lemon a reason to live. What gives you zest?
The thing that gives a lemon a reason to live? A lemon doesn't have any reason to live.
Well, I know that, and you know that, but the lemon don't know that.
Yeah, I've got a zest of lemon.
So I need about a zest of 1 lemon.
Well, I've never heard of the zest of anything.
Yeah, you bad about zest soap. I know you, I seen that in the bathroom.
All right, I got zest soap. I'm talking about zest as in a real thing, and I never heard about a lemon needing a reason to live.
Well, if anything needs a reason to live, my God.
Yeah, that's very good, Margaret. I agree. You think about it, a lemon ought to get its stuff together because, I don't know, but if I was a lemon, I'd try to get my act together. In order for me to explain to anybody that wanted to make me into greeter, why I want to keep on living.
Okay. All right, fine.
Okay, you understand what I'm saying there?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, now I know you're just humoring me.
Yeah, that's what he's doing, you're right. He's humoring you, Mavis, because he thinks you're nuts.
Isn't that right, Mr. Henry?
Yeah. Will you just move on, please? We don't have a lot of time here.
Yes, sir. I want 5 cups... of cubed day-old super moist cornbread, okay, cut in a 1-inch chunk. I don't want it fresh. I don't want it 2-day-old. I got to have it a day old, and I got to have it now. And
well, shouldn't that be something you made?
As a matter of fact, I did make it, so I got some day-old right here, but I'm just saying that I've got to have that, and thank God I do have it. But I need it, and I want it, and I got to have it. Then I have a 1 cup of low-sodium chicken broth, and I have 2 tablespoons of low-sodium chicken broth, 6 tablespoons of unsalted butter melted. I have some salt and freshly ground pepper. And that's all of my ingredients for my buttermilk cornbread with sausage stuffing from the Beaker Brothers.
And the Beaker Brothers, by the way, you're only putting their name on this recipe as a way of getting them off your back about how they own it. And you don't.
That is exactly right, because I own this recipe. I come up with it, and the Beaker Brothers can go pound sand. And whatever you do, if you're a Beaker Brother, I'm sure it's real weird. I'd get back to it if I was you, because I'm Mavis Leonard, and you ain't going to tell me that I can't make my buttermilk sausage with cornbread, buttermilk cornbread with or Beaker Brothers zesty lemon. I don't.
It's called a... What is it called?
It's called a buttermilk cornbread with sausage stuffing. No.
It's called a Beaker Brother.
Beaker Brother buttermilk cornbread with sausage.
Okay, it sounds very good, and I don't really care what it's called. I will only get yours, Mavis, okay?
That's exactly... There you go, bingo. Give that man a cigar. That's the only person you're going to get this from. And I'm going to invite you personally to come over to the house tomorrow for Thanksgiving dinner.
That's very kind of you, dear. Thank you. I'm going to stop by. I am.
You want to make the rounds?
Yeah, well, I'd like to...
I don't know about you. Are you going to have that husband that doesn't know who a she and a he?
I'm afraid Frank is with me, yes.
Well, that's all right. You come by.
because we'll be making the rounds. We're going to a lot of different people's houses tomorrow. We are having our Thanksgiving dinner, but then Jason J. Delmonico is going to have some of his buddies over for their little video gaming, and that's when Frank and I make the rounds.
So you're going to come down here what time?
What's good, darling?
I'd say about 6 or 7 o'clock before Robert tears ass into everything and eat it all, you know.
All right, it'll be about 6 or 7 then.
How about you, Mr. Henry?
Whenever you'd like me down there.
Well, the earlier the better, because, you know, Robert, he's going to tear ass into everything that I, and the Beaker brothers, if I see Hardner here.
Oh, you're not going to, the Beaker brothers are not going to come to your house.
Well, if I see them, I'm going to leave them where I find them.
What time should I be there?
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I said about 3 o'clock would be good. That put a nice big space between you and that Frank Gray who don't know who a woman is or a man or any of that.
I've tried. We're working with Frank, and I'm sorry about that, Mavis.
You know what? Last year he said, call me he this and he that, and he sure make a good dinner. I almost took that personal.
All right, so we've got the basic recipes, and I don't have the basic recipe there. I don't think we have time to get into the directions, but I'm sure people can. You don't want to do that, do you?
I don't want to do what?
You don't want to give people directions on how to make it. That's going to kind of blow the secret of the great Mavis Leonard / Beaker Brothers.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, Phil. I don't want to have to mess somebody up because they stole my Beaker Brother buttermilk cornbread sausage stuff. I don't want to have to mess nobody up.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, I'll let it lay for now, you know.
All right, darling. Well, we'll see you tomorrow, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Robert, don't forget to get that virgin.
What virgin?
The virgin you got to get.
Virgin olive oil.
Yeah, that's virgin olive oil. I forgot.
Yeah, I'll get that on the store. I'll get that in a home.
Get it at a store. You don't get it at the house. I want you to bring it to the house.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. Wow, that's...
You know, that recipe sounds delicious. It really does.
It does, actually. There's a lot of stuff there, pecans, and, you know, stuffing now is a lot of stuff. People do anything they want with it.
Yeah, pretty much people will put anything they want in a turkey, you know.
Well, not any. I mean, I guess you could, but it ain't all going to taste good.
You put anything you want. What about ice cream?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, man.
Ice cream.
That makes a lot of sense. It's going to melt, man.
Of course it's going to melt, but it's going to imbue the turkey with the flavorings.
You mean it's going to marinate the turkey?
No. Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Stuff it with ice cream. I guess you could do it after the fact, but it's still going to melt. All right, we'll be back here with our final thoughts here on this whatever it is. Oh, yeah, it's Thanksgiving here, 2012, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now, a Phil TV program note for those of you who are Backstage Pass members. Tomorrow, we begin at 1 o'clock with a couple of archived Milwaukee Lion football games. That'll be 1 o'clock Pacific. And that will be followed by 3 classic hours of the Phil Hendry Show from our archives. And I think that's... we got anything else, Bub? I called you Bub, and you're Bud, and you're Bob. You're Robert.
No, I prefer Robin, not Bob.
No, I know that, but I said Bub because somehow...
Well, that was like yesterday when Vernon Dozier couldn't say basketball or football, and it came out in a very offensive... Have you spoken to him about that?
No, I haven't, Margaret. The man was nervous.
Yeah, it come out blue ball.
I know he said blue ball. He meant to say... He couldn't say basketball and football. He got nervous, and it came out blue ball, and you guys are making a big deal out of it.
Who is this very effeminate man on the Stairmaster?
I don't know. It's an exercise guy. Can we stick to the same one point, please?
Well, I don't like the hair coming out of the back of his baseball cap. He looks like a woman.
Never mind. So, what was I saying here? I forget. Oh, tomorrow. So, what else, Bud?
Yeah, we're going to have the Lion game, and then we're going to have the 3 hours of the classic Phil Henry, and then we're gonna have two classic Lions of a Jack I. Gagner.
Oh, that's it. I forgot. So between the Lions games, we will have a couple of classic hours of Jack I. Gagner's Lions. So it'll be a football Thanksgiving on Phil TV with the Milwaukee Lions, and then wrapping up the evening with three classic hours of the Phil Henry Show archived. So if you are a BSP, join us tomorrow, 1 o'clock. You can have it in the background if you want. You can pipe it over your stereo system or your PA or whatever you got. Imagine somebody having a PA.
What is a PA?
Like a public address system. Do they have that at your house?
I don't know. You know, if you've got a PA, why would anybody have a PA? I guess if you've got a big enough yard. So if the weather's nice and you're out in your backyard and it's big enough that you need a public address system, then you can pump that out into your backyard tomorrow by way of Phil TV. And if you don't have a backstage pass, please join us at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, and get a BSP right quick, y'all. We right now have afford on-demand downloads and on-demand streaming of the Phil Henry archives for all Apple users, as well as people using droids and desktops. So if you have an iPhone or an iPad, be advised you can listen to our material on demand, that is to download or to stream when it's not live. You can listen to it on demand on your iPhone. You can listen to it on your iPad as well. And we will soon be streaming live for iPad and iPhone users, Phil TV, when we do our show at night. So that's kind of a cool thing. I can only hope. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, we will. Also, our podcast will continue throughout the Thanksgiving weekend. So be sure to join us at philhenryshow.com and click on the podcast banner. You're going to see it to the left, and it'll say our new podcast. Click on that. Go to philhenryradio.com, and that'll send you on to our podcast. Right now, our podcast is being downloaded at a record clip, man. I don't think we've ever had this much popularity for anything we've done, and it's a podcast, you know?
Well, you are about to hit 200,000 downloads.
We're about to make a milestone of 200,000 downloads, and I'll tell you, we are, the sky's the limit with that. So we're very excited about that. We're very excited about our one-man show. We're going to be having a rehearsal on Friday, and be advised that we're going to, at some point, have a backstage pass-only listener show. So we'll have a presentation of our one-man show for just our backstage pass members, a select group of people. And then we are, again, as I said, scheduled to roll out our one-man show in February. It is going to be a live presentation, and it's basically taking the Phil Henry Show, which is 22 years old, from the very first time that we did our radio show with all of our guests. Margaret, you were our first way back when we did the show locally in Ventura, California. Now we're in Ventura, California, doing it nationally. Bud, you joined us back then.
Yeah, that's when I wrecked my bike.
That's right. We hired Bud right after that.
I remember you then, Bud, yes.
Yeah, we hired Bud right after he wrecked his bike and put his head through the oak tree up there in Ojai. That's when we brought you on board for the show. So it's been many, many years. And through it all, we've developed so many different people that have become members of the Phil Henry Show family, different guests, different characters. And it's all pointed toward this spring when what we have done, and it almost seems like I should have known, we've taken this entire presentation that we've created for radio, and we're going to be taking it to where it probably should have been all along, and that is a live theatrical stage presentation. There's a lot of people that love our radio show, don't get me wrong. But the fact of the matter is, the radio show, as good as it's been, and it's been as good, if not better, than anything anybody's ever done on the radio world itself, the industry itself, has been lost when it came to the Phil Henry Show. But when it comes to what we're going to do this spring, I feel that this is the logical culmination.
So what you're basically saying, Phil, is you reject out of hand the radio world for flubbing the Phil Henry opportunity. Is that what you're saying?
That's a very good way of putting it, yeah.
For flubbing the Phil Henry. So you made a lot of money in your life.
I made a lot of money. I'm not complaining, okay? Although never mind. But, yes, I've made a lot of money. And so, no, I'm not complaining. But I'm saying the money that I've made in radio will be, it'll be about the size of a pea compared to the enormous money that we're about to make on stage with the live presentation of our Phil Hendry brand, if you will.
So you are predicting, well, how much money do you think you'll make?
We'll be in the millions.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me?
You really have got a pair on you, don't you?
What's wrong with that?
Well, all you're going to do is piss off people.
I think we're going to make millions. Millions. Yes. In the live venues? No, if you don't believe me, check out... Well, never mind. But that's my prediction.
You really got a pair...
The world famous... Anyway, happy Thanksgiving, folks. And I do mean happy Thanksgiving. And in the background here on Phil TV, you see two women beating the hell out of each other in ultimate in a UFC championship bout. That's what Thanksgiving is to me. I am thankful that I'm able to see in this great country of ours two pretty good-looking women pounding hell out of each other wearing really tight shorts. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by myself along with Dan Northcraft. And, of course... we are online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. So make sure you join us with your backstage pass. Let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.